In her several remarkable books, The Quest for Krista T, A Model Childhood, No Place on Earth, and Cassandra, Krista Wolf grudges the reader every inch of intimacy. She'll not be understood too quickly. She's almost always autobiographical and self-conscious about it, and suspicious of her self-consciousness, like a Doris Lessing. Out of these suspicions, like a Simone de Beauvoir, she spins theories, spiderwebs on what it means to be a woman and a German, a mother and a Marxist, a child of Hitler and a writer against the world, and then cuts through these theories with a sword. They aren't good enough. They are too fancy. They can't hold the blood. There is about her simultaneously both a weariness of the old European culture that she'd rather shrug off, like Monique Wittig, and also the primary colors of Joan Didion's paranoia, as if history were her migraine headache. This sounds grim, and it is grim much of the time. And yet somehow, against all odds, she manages to be lyrical. She'll pierce the heart. If you haven't read Cassandra, you'll find the appendix as compelling as the novel. The novel reimagines the Trojan War from the point of view of its first victim. The appendix consists of essays on patriarchal drama since the Greeks, the blood-red thread of narrative, the hero plot, the epic quest of men for profit, property, and glory, at the expense of the women's choral song of seasons and renewal. Accident is the story of a day in the life of an East German writer named Krista. She fears, on the one hand, a possible meltdown of the nuclear reactor after the accident at Chernobyl. She fears, on the other hand, her brother's death. He is being operated on for a brain tumor. She gardens before the orchards are poisoned. She bicycles before the walls come down. She answers her mail before her friends have time to die. She is bothered by neighbors and the telephone. She seems to have read too much Conrad Lorenz on ethology, too much Arthur Koestler on the neocortex of the brain, too many fairy tales from the Brothers Grimm about dark forests and wild beasts and wicked stepmothers. We are bent on waste and friendless greedy death, she says. Physics and ideology murder to create. She postulates a blind spot somewhere in our evolution, a heart of darkness that accounts for evil, and this before she's even looked at the Joseph Conrad novel on her bedside table. If she were a carpenter, she might find this heart of darkness in her tools, her axe, her nails. Because she's a novelist, she suspects the problem is language itself, the gift of speech we should have refused, the vice of writing that is her solitary practice, quote, the cordon of word nausea becoming ever denser that tightens on her neck. Deep in such sorrow, she accuses herself and despairs of light. But I'll be damned if she doesn't find some, a flicker up in clouds above an unknown continent, down in a wisdom as secret and deep as the kinship of silent trees and stones, in a dream in which a monster cries, on a moon that wears her mother's face. She finds something, an accident of grace, and that's enough.